Blog Talk Radio.
Actually, 2017, and tonight we're going to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. It's going to be an NBA show, and hopefully everyone can hear me. Let me make sure. Hold on. All right, there we go. 646-652-4479 is the number, of course. Chat room is open, so if you're shy and don't want to call in or you can't call in, you can always, if you're on the site, blogtalkradio.com/IMTM Worldwide, you can go into the chat room and type in a note or two or comment or question. I just saw a couple people log in just now. And, of course, Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio. You always get notifications of the show there. And, of course, the company Instagram, IMTM Worldwide. So we're talking about NBA, we're talking about the Atlanta Hawks. Everyone knows, if you've been listening to the show for the last couple of years, I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan, Atlanta Braves fan, Atlanta Falcons fan, Atlanta United FC fan now that we have a soccer team in town. But let's talk NBA. Recently, the Atlanta Hawks dominated the Boston Celtics at home. That was Monday night. They shut down an MVP candidate, Isaiah Thomas. They out-rebounded them. Defensively, they dominated. Offensively, they did what they wanted. But which team was that? Was that the team that has beat some of the top teams in the NBA on the road? Or is it the team that has been destroyed by sub-500 teams frequently, mostly at home, in front of Hawks fans? So what is next? The title of this show is Trade Deadline Came and Went. Now what? We didn't trade Paul. We didn't make a huge splash in trading anybody, and we didn't pull any of the available players that were out there. There are proven difference makers. We didn't pull it off. Do we stand pat now? Do we re-sign Paul this summer? Do we look at other free agents? Do we focus on the draft? Tonight we're going to discuss everything about the Atlanta Hawks. Tune in, call in, listen in. Be sure to tell others, 646-652-4479, if you are listening. And, again, shout out to a lot. I actually saw some of the countries, I guess, that actually do tune in to my show that are not in the United States. And it's pretty cool to see people from different countries checking out the show. So I'm working on getting regular. It's just been really difficult. It's been more difficult than I thought it would. Be kind of like doing something with healthcare. But anyway, 646-652-4479. Anyway, what's going on tonight, really? But the Atlanta Hawks. Now, if you were watching that game, if you watched it from beginning to end, there are just a lot of things that just probably stood out to you. Now, recognizing where the Hawks are right now in this season, it's the end of February. And technically, the Hawks don't have an identity still, okay? This far into the season, there's still a lot of things that just on the basketball side that shouldn't be that difficult. For some reason, it's been difficult for the Hawks, okay? Very, 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 very not cool. Perimeter defense is one of them. That alone has probably lost us 15 games easily this season, okay? Not being able to do an entry pass properly to Dwight Howard, who is always getting positioned in the post somehow, but can never get the ball, right? There's a plethora of things. Those are just two right off the top of the head. Rotations, and this goes into coaching, there's just times where I swear Larry Drew is out there, okay? So just these things that, you know, supposed to be fixed by December, January at the latest, it is now officially the last day of February, and we're still technically trying to figure out stuff. Now, we can all say, oh, well, Steph got hurt. Well, not really. That shouldn't have been the reason of this downward spiral that we've been in the last few weeks. Three-game losing streak, you know, post All-Star break, going into the All-Star break, coming out of the All-Star break, losing one before, and then losing two in a row until Monday, you know, putting us in a position like really literally when you, you know, again, look out how many losses we have. Look at where we stand in the East. There's bits and pieces that this team might not even make the playoffs. And I know that's sounding crazy because everybody else has said, oh, well, they're solid unless a disaster happens. Well, that disaster is happening. Really, it is. I mean, again, you got teams like Miami and Philly who still think they have a shot. If they do, somebody else has to fall out, don't they? Right? 646-652-4479. So where do the Hawks really stand in? Again, and this is everybody who watched that game, I know one person posted somewhere on social media, on Facebook, I believe it was, are you happy now? And I replied, no. One win does not change a season when they've done this all season. They have horrible losses, and then they win a big game, and then they lose again. How real franchises that win regularly do not do that. You see what I'm saying? And, again, it's a matter of when will the Hawks ever be relevant to be viewed as an actual team that contends? And I mentioned this on videos. You might have seen them, maybe not. I need to start posting more on my website. But anyway, that's another story for another day. We've been in contention two times where people really thought that the Hawks had a chance to do something. The year that Dominique Wilkins got traded, way back when, in the 60-year season. And that was only because they had won 60 games. You have to list them as a contender if they win 60 games the way that they were doing it. One out the month of January, whole team going to the All-Star game, playing at the same time. You had to list them as a contender until they got swept by the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. The first time they've ever made it, by the way, right? So the trade deadline came and went, so now what? So a lot of people are looking at just the math of things out there, and they looked at all these other teams making moves and thinking about making moves and trying to pull the trigger, and no one actually did. Well, at least they were thinking about it, and I guess the Hawks went to get into that conversation, or at least the Hawks thought about it. You know, we tried to get Jim Butler. We tried to get PG-13. We tried to, but, you know, it just didn't work out. Isn't that what we've heard for the last 10 years? It just never worked out. We tried to do this, tried to do that, right? So the rebuild that really started a few years ago with really Joe Johnson leaving, you know, that's part of a rebuild. And then the second rebuild that started with the exit of Junkyard Dog and, you know, then, of course, Al and Jeff, and then Kyle Korver is gone. Paul is the only one left, right? We had an opportunity to finish that rebuild and get something for a valuable player. Now, a lot of people will say, you know, I've been really kind of down at Paul a lot, but I haven't really. I've been really respecting what he's done and what he's been, but it is a business. And at the end of the day, integral part to a championship team, I'm just looking at stats. And his stats can be replaced, okay? With other players around him in the right fit and situation, maybe win. But if he is the lead dog that is about to get $35 million a year, I'm sorry. He has to give us more than 13 points a night. He has to give us more than 17. He needs to be over 20 points every night. I don't care how he gets it. And he doesn't do that. So for me, again, the way you pay people in the NBA is if, like Boogie Cousins, like Anthony Davis, they get money because look at the stats that they put up every night. Without question, it happens. Isaiah Thomas there in Boston, look what he does in the game. Look how he beat the Hawks, you know, months or however long ago it was, Friday night. Buzzer beater, just daggers. Again, again, and again. 42 straight games over 20 points. Most of those games, 25 points, really. Right? When has Paul ever did that? That's my point. And as far as this whole clutch thing, I'm like, my goodness. I mean, one game does not make him clutch. And we all know what his history has been in these 4 years in regards to who has the ball at the end of the game and what happens next. Sorry. You can't show that to me. And say he warrants $35 million a year. I don't care what the new NBA salary, whatever structure is now, and money is different because of the TV deal. Still too much. Sorry. That's going to hinder us. We're already hindered. Why hinder us forever? 646-652-4479. Call in if you want to weigh in. So we didn't trade Paul to be able to get some assets, whether it be trading to get his replacement or trading for another piece, trading for a third point guard for crying out loud, because we didn't do it, okay? So what happens next? This summer, when free agency begins and he's an unrestricted free agent, there's a choice. Do we offer him the whole franchise and keep him to stay here, 32 years old, right? Or does he walk? Okay. Now, a lot of people will allude to the fact that, okay, well, we let Al walk. Well, not really. Al walked on his own behalf. People can say what they want to say. We should have went after Al first, then Dwight, all this kind of jibber-jabber. At the end of the day, couldn't take that chance. At the end of the day, we see what the results are. We needed Dwight much more than we needed Al. And look what Celtics got now. Did anybody watch the game on Monday night? Did you really watch the game? Okay, who cares if you watch the game? Do what most people do and just look at the stats. That's what people like to do. Heck, look at the highlights. That's all you need to know what happened that night, Dwight versus Al, okay? So at the end of the day, that move in particular was a huge move, big deal. Now, of course, Al could have been like, man, I could have been playing with Dwight. Wouldn't that have been awesome? And, yeah, that would have moved Paul out a little bit quicker, right? But at least we wouldn't have been on the hook. And we could have afforded both Al and Dwight. You see what I'm saying? So that being said, that didn't happen, okay? So if we let Paul walk, then what? Are there free agents out there that could put the numbers up that a power forward for this particular team and how this team is structured matter? Now, we did make this trade with Philadelphia and get Ilyasova, and that's great. And it looks like he is going to be kind of an important player on this team. He can hit shots. He can rebound. Anybody notice that? He's athletic. He looks like he wants to play. That's kind of important. Okay, when you're playing with this Hawks team, you want to play, right? So he is a power forward. So, you know, was he gotten to replace Paul possibly? He is a little bit younger, right? You know, so that's you know, now whether or not that's a long-term solution or a stopgap, don't know. 646-652-4479. Let's check the chat room, make sure ain't nobody saying anything in there yet. Okay, cool. But, I mean, if it got down to it, we could live with it, I think. You know, Dwight Ilyasova for a few years. Maybe, I don't know. Depends on what they make, you know, choices on other positions possibly. You know, a battery of Ilyasova and Moose. I can live with that. Both of them produce. Both of them could put up the stats that Paul did and bring other stuff to the table that Paul doesn't. You see what I'm saying? So I can see that to an extent. That helps the bench, keep it moving. So, but what if we don't you know, go after someone, you know, to just straight up, you know, get Paul, or we just try to plug and play, you know, what about the draft? Draft has some players coming out this next year. That could be that one person, right? That's a possibility. Well, we have to see about that too. Now, the other positions that we have on this team, again, we talk about lineups and rotations. We just THJ is back on the bench, and Seth is in the starting lineup. And now, last night it looked like that dynamic looked like it might work, because it looks like, for whatever reason, Seth looks a little bit better than he did before he got hurt. Because, again, before, maybe he was hurt while he was playing, because, like, really, he was a sieve. He couldn't stop nobody. And if he's on this team to stop people, he wasn't doing it. It hurt. There's the other flip side of that, of course, he wasn't scoring either. Seth either has to score or he has to play defense. Every now and again, he plays both, but we don't rely on him to play both that much. But if you're going to put him in the starting lineup, that's dangerous because, again, you got Dwight, you got Paul, you got Baze, who keeps getting put in the starting lineup, and then you got Dennis. It can't just be Dennis and another player. You see what I'm saying? Or Dennis and Dwight in his production. It can't be that, and this team wins. We're not structured like that. Again, I feel THJ is the best shooting guard the Hawks have had. And Joe Johnson, there you go. So as far as ability to get his own shot and actually hit a shot, and actually you think the shot is going to go in when it comes off of his hands, that's THJ. We don't have nobody else on our team since Kyle Korver is gone that could do that for us now, right? That's kind of important. 3-4-6-6-5-2-4-4-7-9. So that's another, again, we're throwing out stuff. The trade deadline came and went. We got Ilyasova. We have an open roster spot that apparently is not going to be, it's not capable of being filled, because I'm going off all kinds of places here. There are no point guards in the NBA, NBDL, free agency, overseas, pick up basketball behind Walmart on Old National Highway, somewhere, right? I posted a list of point guards that are current free agents and then point guards in the NBDL right now who could help this team right now not go into long scoring droughts, not go into non-running of the offense, just standing around, all in the videos, right? Heck, I hate Mario Chalmers. Mario Chalmers would be a great number two point guard right now. I hate Mario Chalmers, but he's out there. I was surprised to see Jordan Farmar's name out on that list. I was really surprised about that. Bryce Cotton is out there. He used to play for the Hawks a little bit. Will Bynum is still out there. We had him on the team, too. Again, it baffles me. Again, that's what I don't understand personnel right now, moves that have been made over the last half a year, and then we look at our record, and then we keep getting we're having to listen to how that's supposed to be legit, to legitimize, well, we don't need a third point guard. Really? Okay. Legitimize the signings. You know, again, I really like Baze coming back and everything and all the heart sales and Dwight coming back. But right now, Baze ain't pulled through. And it's all about winning. It's all about production. And if it's all about that, he needs to be coming off the bench. He's better off the bench. Point, he's better off the bench. I'm not going to say more than that. I would like him to stay. I don't even care if you pay him $70 million. He just don't need to start. Get your money, Baze. But you can't start on this team anymore. In bunches, he does, but the bunches that he don't, we lose games. Again, you play to win the game, period. So whether or not you're a Hawks fan or not, you have to respect that. And at a certain point, somebody has to make that happen. And whether it be ownership, general manager, you know, whoever, somebody needs to be able to say, hey, we have to do this now. Because, again, the reason Monday night was so maddening, frustrating for Hawks fans Because this team could do that all the time if it wanted to. So do they just not want to? Does the coach not want to coach them to where they do that every night? Or is it the players? Is it one player in particular? What? Because, again, you beat a team on the road that has been kind of not unbeatable, but they were hot. They're second in the East, for crying out loud. Like, seriously, this is a really good team. And you made them look like they're not a really good team. There was announcers saying how, hey, this team doesn't even look like, you know, this is not a second-tier team at all. This is a regular old team here, you know. Beat them down like that, you know. 646-652-4479. So, again, we're at a precipice to where the trade deadline came and went, didn't really do anything. So if this is the team we have, why not utilize pieces to the best of the ability? And or, hey, if you're just not going to try to win, let the young boys play. Let Prince play all the time. Let Bembry could be the third point guard and actually be the second point guard, really. Let Malcolm be the third point guard in injuries or whatever you want to call it. But, again, I'm going to just bring it up. I mean, at the end of the day, this is what kills me in Atlanta. We can't talk about players scoring 2 points in a whole game, 5 points in a whole game, and they got the ball more than everybody else. But we can't talk about them, though. Like, seriously, you control the ball, you can get your own shot, but you only get 2 points the whole time that you're in there. If you get 18, 24 minutes in a game and you only got 2 or 5 points, you're not really helping your team win that much, are you? So, I'm sorry, what are we supposed to do about that? That's a problem, because I don't see that happening on winning teams. Winning teams don't let people like that be out on the floor a whole heck of a lot. You see what I'm saying? I mean, and guess what? We have to, because we don't have nobody else, supposedly. I mean, for really, really, crying out loud, we have an open roster spot, and it ain't going to get filled. Dunleavy didn't play the other night either. That's a guard that didn't play. What if somebody got hurt? We didn't have nobody. Oh, wait, we got Ryan Kelly. Throw him in there. I'm still missed on that. See, that's what I'm saying. it gets me upset that, you know, you have opportunities to improve and you just won't. And I don't know if it's the structure. I don't know if it's the essence of the system that Bud is running or whatever it is. But, again, if I could pull a list of point guards and you can't sign, none of these guys can play. I'm sorry. Andre Old Man Miller could probably still play if you give him a shot. Vince Carter is doing it at 40 years old. Why not? You see what I'm saying? 646-652-4479. So that can't be an excuse. And, again, I pull people from NBDL. Again, it ain't like you can't pull it up. So if I can pull it up, why can't the general manager of the Hawks pull it up? Mr. Wilcox, I'm sorry. It's there on paper. These guys can play. These guys are proven. Now, some of these players, you maybe just don't like them. Maybe you just don't have – other teams just don't have room for one of these players or whatever. Whatever, whatever, whatever. But they're out there, and they're available. We need a third guard, period. You see what I'm saying? We do. We need another center. We need another big man. You see what I'm saying? So – again, it's just one of those deals where it just baffles me. Okay, well, if you get Patterson, are you going to let him be the guard, right? We got Ilyasova. But you got Kelly. So, you couldn't find another somebody better than Kelly out there? I didn't take the time to do that the other day. Maybe I'll do that tonight. But, like, seriously, I mean, it's just frustrating, y'all. I just want to see this team get a ring. And, you know, if you're an Atlanta Hawks fan or a basketball fan in general, you see what the Hawks have been through over the last 40, 50 years. And it's almost impossible to be as inept as this organization has been. That's the only word you can really use. Because you can't use that for Boston Celtics, L.A. Lakers. You see what I'm saying? You can't say that for, heck, an expansion team that hasn't been around as long as the Hawks, Miami Heat. Hey, Cleveland Cavaliers have been caught up now. They have a ring. They're trying to get back-to-back. the Cleveland Cavaliers of all teams, right? Watch Milwaukee Bucks get past us. They haven't won a championship either. Well, nope, I take that back. Yes, they have. Not in our era, but they do have one. Right? Lou Alcindor. So, you know, is this one of those deals where, like, even in the Eastern Conference, name all the teams that don't have a championship or a championship appearance, for that matter. At least Orlando has a championship appearance, right? Washington Wizards don't. Okay, cool. Who else? It's hard. You see what I'm saying? So, for me, it's a matter of at a certain point, when do they change that? When, you know, yeah, the Knicks have really, you know, they've been to the finals and things of that nature, but the Knicks have history, though. The Knicks have Willis. Oh, they're a championship. Forget that. But they do have a championship, but they have history in regards to the competition. When you say Knicks, other than this little period with Melo and everything, and then that horrible period where Allen Houston got paid all the Knicks money for like 2 decades. Anyway, Patrick Ewing, Oakley, right? Taylor, all those guys, stars, you know? So you have that with some of these teams that are out there who may have not won a championship, but at least they're recognizable. Again, we have our one little bitty stretch with Dominique, right? And then we had a stretch with Joe Johnson initially, right? That little period of time, right, of success. And then the one that we're currently going through right now, where, hey, guess what? In the Eastern Conference, no one has made the playoffs more times consecutively than the Atlanta Hawks. That's something to stick the feather in the cap, right? Playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. Nothing wrong going to the playoffs, right? We've been to one Eastern Conference final, and then we got swept in that. So what happens now? That was the other part of that question from the title of this show. What are we going to do? Because, again, we have the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium opening up. We have our new franchise about to start playing its first home game here in Atlanta, Bobby Dodd Stadium. You have the Atlanta Dream as the other professional team here. The Atlanta Braves start playing soon. Okay, exhibition game, March 31st, by the way. Make sure you go through. What are we going to do? Because we got to play catch-up. Looks like we got a call. Let's see. Go ahead, have a caller come in. Let's see here. Welcome to the show, caller. Go ahead and announce your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's up, Chris? It's George from Hampton, my man.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good, man. Sorry I got caught on a conference call, man. I meant to get on here earlier. Yeah, man, I'm listening to this, man. I've been frustrated too, bro. I'm a diehard Hawks fan, bro. Born and raised in Georgia. And, man, it just frustrates me to no end, bro. I mean, last night we showed glimpses of what we're capable of doing. But to not have that on a regular basis, it just drives me crazy, man. When you know you got the potential, and then just like you just said, Ryan Kelly, I don't get that. I just don't get it.
I didn't want to say his name, but I kind of had to by default. But you know,
man, I mean, it was bad enough you had Patterson, because this guy may have played what, 2 or 3 games while he was with us, and then he just had flashes. This Kelly guy, I mean, it's like there's got to be more quality players out here than that. And one guy that they let go last year, I thought they should have gave another look, was a guy, I can't think of the guy's name, but he's originally from Marietta. And he played 4 years in Miami. He was on the squad at the beginning of the season, then they ended up cutting him. Not this year, but last year.
Last year.
And, man, let me tell you something. He played with Orlando, but he ended up getting waived by Orlando. Brother had some hops, too. I cannot think of his name. Out of Marietta. But, anyway, that guy got cut. And then it's like, I don't understand. You know, I would love to have a guy like Jerry Jack on the team, man. If for no other reason, to bring Dennis in, because it seems like nobody else is doing it. Dennis has great potential, but he's shown, I think his head's getting a little big. When you got incidents like this, man, being late for the team meeting and the team, and then be late for the game after you got suspended. That right there, that shows a little bit of arrogance to me, man. Somebody should have jacked.
I don't know. I'm gonna say this just on that tangent there. I ain't gonna put too much into it unless it is a regular thing. Because in the 4 years that he's been on the team, we haven't had no problems out of Dennis. So I'm gonna throw that out there as, I mean, you know, what I want to call all star hangover. Okay, he went overseas. He, you know, well, you know, had fun with family and friends and everything. Got the stuff messed up with his visa and everything. Came back. Heck, maybe he was still on Germany time. I'm gonna just throw that, you know, as far as that, because again, when you throw that word arrogance out there, that's the last thing Dennis is. There's a whole list of players that we can attach the word arrogance in. You know, Dennis can't even. I can't put him there. If it starts to be a problem over a regular basis, like, you know, Russell Westbrook's, you know, style and dress every night before pregame, then that's another story. I'll give you that, man.
I guess my frustration was boiling over from everything else, man. To get blown out.
Yeah, I understand.
Back to back and double digits. And then the thing about it is, man, every team has a game like a 20 or 30 point blowout during the season. But to have eight or nine, that's ridiculous, man.
And most of them at home.
That's what gets me, man. You know, I pay good money to go to them games, man. I'm a season ticket holder 10 years straight.
I'm going to say this, George. This is what really kind of irks me at the end of the day, okay? Because, you know, you look at other franchises over the years and stuff like that, and there's only a few who just outright just don't care about their fans. We know it was the Clippers forever with Sterling, okay? That was one franchise. Mm-hmm. Disney didn't care about the fans at all right? Another franchise forever really pretty much never showed any kind of, I don't even know what you want to call the word, but the Philadelphia 76ers, because they've just been rebuilding for like the last 15 years since Allen Iverson left, for all intents and purposes, okay? But most of the other franchises show that they want to try to do a little something. But for some reason, again, like you said, I mentioned it earlier on my show, Bud's been Larry Drew-ing it. There just ain't no way you could just have these lapses where, I mean, like, for real, like, I'm not throwing Pop out there, but doggone it. It's 2 minutes in the game in the first quarter. Y'all playing like crap. Y'all getting benched. Tony Parker, on the bench. Tim Duncan, you're on the bench. We can't do that for some reason because it's just not right. Okay? I don't know why.
I don't either, man. I mean, it drives me crazy, man. And last night when I saw how they played last night, it made me angry because I'm like, why don't I see this every night, man?
I was just like, as soon as Dwight pushed out, I was like, here we go. You see what I'm saying?
What
I'm like, this is what we need. I posted it. I'm like, this is
what
we need every doggone night. We are unstoppable, unbeatable team in the East if we did this all the time. Because right now, look, people get mad at me, we are five games out of eighth place right now. We are five games away from being the eighth place team in the East. Five.
Yeah. And the other thing, and on the flip side, we're only what? Two or three games out of second? Well, actually more than that.
Officially, we are four and a half games out of second place right now because Boston is four games out of first right now. So we're eight and a half games back of Cleveland right now. We're now Toronto has a good little cushion now. We're two and a half out of fourth and third right now because Washington and Toronto are tied. So, again, this is my other thing. We need a 10-game win streak, and we can't even get that right. We can't even get a 6-game.
Here's what I like.
We can't even get a 3-game. You see what I'm saying? We can't even do it. We are 16-12 at home, 17-14 on the road. We're always 5-5 every 10 games. You can't do nothing with that. You know what I'm saying?
It's too close to the end, man. We got to put on a serious streak right now. And the one thing I don't get is why take something like – bad losses for him to play a rookie like a Prince, where the guy's itching to play, and he always gives you that same hustle every single night. You get this guy here, let him get some burn, man. Let this guy get in the flow of the game. And I like to see Bembry get some more playing time, too. But I told
Bembry should
him,
be,
I think
like
I
said, Bembry should be our point guard, our second point guard. He can play. He has the IQ. He wants to play. He plays defense. He can score. He can do all those things. He's shown that. Prince has shown that. Prince showed us that earlier in the year when we were winning. Yeah, he's playing them all the time, and he's just producing and putting up numbers, and then all of a sudden they benched him for 2 months.
Here's what, you know, it's
those little subtle things that, like, people don't know, you know, from the outside looking in, but we do because we see it every night, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, another thing, man, this Bazemore, man, I am really fed up with this guy. There's no way I would, I mean.
Uh-oh, don't get sacrilegious on us now, George.
What you mean? Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. When you got Hardaway, who's been starting for the last, 20 games, averaging 18 points a game? Did I sign the alarm?
Yeah, but keep going.
Man, let me tell you, man. I came on your show a couple of years ago. Right when we got Hardaway, and you had Bob Rappin on there, and I said, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the guys who's going to be a game changer for us is going to be Tim Hardaway Jr. The dude's got the DNA, man. He's got the same DNA as his daddy, man. The dude is fearless. He may miss 5 in a row, but he will still keep shooting because he's just that confident. You need a guy like that, man, who's fearless. You saw how he blew past Horford last night. He has no fear of that stuff. He will take it to the rack on you in a minute. He's the most athletic guy on the team. To me, he is the best all-around player. If Timmy up his defense a little bit more, I'm telling you, man. It's not about the defense.
I'm telling you. See, that's what upsets me with this. He's on the bench, first of all, now. Again, you know, Seth coming back or whatever, and I guess he was just regulated back to the bench. It was just stupid to me. At a certain point, you can't. I mean, you know, like I said, y'all seen my lineups time and time again. Y'all already know how I feel. But at a certain point, you got to have the man that's going to keep you in the game more than not in the game. You have to be able to have that one person, like you said, who has the dog in them to say, I'm going to shoot this. I'm probably going to hit it more than I'm going to miss it. Because since Kyle Korver is not here, he's our best shooter, period. He just is. And he's a scorer. So that's what you need in the NBA nowadays. So you've always needed him. We just never really had that person. Yeah, we had Joe Hamburger for a minute and everything. But, you know, but other than that, we had Neek. That's been it in our franchise history. You know how many other players like that have been in other franchises time and time again? You know, that's drafting and that's free agency and that's development. And at a certain point, you just have to have that within you, like you said, just like his daddy. You know, and it's just frustrating to where it's like we just won't do right. We can't put people in the right place. And that goes back into coaching now. We got to start throwing this on Bud a little bit because, again, something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but like somebody posted the other day, it was like maybe he's lost the locker room. I don't know. I hope not because doggone it, we're just 3 years in. So, or 4 years in or whatever it is, but.
I tell you, man, if that game in Houston improved how valuable this guy is and how show that we got a guy on the team that can take over a game right there, why would you even think to take him out of the starting lineup? So what, Bay's making $70 million? You ain't earning that money. You ain't earning it.
Like
this
I said.
Dude right here is the closer.
As soon as I read that he has been back, he got put back on the bench, I was like, they ain't serious about winning. They can't be. They just legitimately cannot be. You know, put our really only real threat to score a real 20 points a night. Even if he don't score 20 points every night, he's the only one who can do it every night. And then you're gonna put somebody in who regularly gets 2 to 10 points a night in the starting lineup. That don't make no sense. By the math, it doesn't make any sense, right?
It does not make sense. And then last night he shot 2 bricks that didn't even touch the doggone rim, man. That I'm like, come on, man. He had his head
like
wide open.
Give Prince the starting minutes. Let him produce. Because when he plays, he's getting like 8-5. Like the other, like Monday night, he got what, 8-12? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what if he just started the whole, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like at a certain point, you're doing right on the draft at least. But if you don't ever let the guys in the draft ever play, it don't do us no good. You know, we traded away the rights of a 2005 draft pick that has never played for the Hawks. In that Ilyasova deal, if anybody noticed that, okay? So it's stuff like that. You know, we are a proverbial second-tier, second-round, you know, draft pick team that, you know, it's again, it's over and over and over again. It's like we're in the Matrix or something. But, you know, Monday night show, again, we stopped the MVP candidate. You know, Al wasn't a factor, but he's never really a factor. We beat a hot team at home. You know, we played perimeter defense. They hit 10 three-pointers, but they had to shoot 29 of them. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like we did it, but it's like, what's going to happen tomorrow night? What's going to happen Friday? You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm worried about.
I just don't want to see a let-up. I want to see them walk out there and just not be intimidated, you know. I mean, you know you got to go against the refs. Okay, that's a given. That's a given. And then for the NBA to come out the next day and say Dwight shouldn't have got ejected, which we all knew he shouldn't have, but it's like that doesn't do us any good. If we had lost
that
game,
doesn't change the outcome. And see, I think that's just a wrong thing. That's a whole other subject for another time,
don't
of course.
Tell me.
This whole fixing, you know, well, we need to let our mistakes be known, doesn't do anything. And if they start doing that for the playoffs too, and people start losing playoff wins because of that, see, then it's a matter of, okay, well, what are you going to do with the refs? Are you going to, like, throw them in the back somewhere? Or what are you going to do? Are you going to fire them? Are you going to take their pension? What are you going to do? Because you're losing playoff games. Now playoff games kind of matter, right?
It's almost as bad as them awarding the guy that call that didn't make that call on Julio. This guy actually was in the Super Bowl. A lot of news was made about that, but some people might not realize that the guy that missed that holding call on Sherman, that guy actually was an official in the Super Bowl. So I guess they wanted to make sure that we didn't win. But anyway, that's the way it is, man. It's like, how are you gonna have a guy? How are you gonna find guys for saying something against officials, but you don't do anything for them when they get supposedly graded on these games? Now they've already put out shouldn't have gotten ejected. But like I said, that doesn't.
Well,
do
again, it's all about accountability, and it's supposed to be for the betterment of the game. But I think it's more of a detriment, and that's just, you know, that's just another just aspect of, you know, the history of our franchise and what's affected and what's not affected as compared to other franchises that win, that have rings. You know, again, I made mention of Miami Heat. Miami hasn't been around as long as we have, and they have 3 championships. You know what I'm saying? You have other teams in our conference that at least have, you know, multiple conference finals appearances, championship appearances, you know, things of this nature. And here we are languishing for 40 years, and all we have to show for it is a sweep in the conference finals. That's just not – that can't be tolerated, really, you know, especially for the fan base. And, again, if people can be wishy-washy all they want to, I don't see nobody going to Cleveland Browns games. So, all right, so at the end of the day, you want a winner. You want a proverbial winner, but at least you want to be competitive. You know, but you want to be competitive on another level eventually too. You get what I'm saying?
You at least want to be in the conversation because nobody even takes us seriously. Whenever they start talking about teams, we weren't even in the conversation. Next thing you know, we're sitting up there in the second place in the East. Next thing that we first place in our division, but nobody's talking about. All they're talking about, well, Washington needs to play better than that. Now they done jumped ahead of us because we went on a 7-8-9 game losing streak, getting blown out, which was ridiculous. You know, what was it? Who beat us by 30-something, and then the next night we lost by 20-something? I think it was Milwaukee. No, it wasn't Milwaukee. It was Toronto one night.
I know Orlando got this one.
It was like we lost like a total of 70 points in 2 nights.
I tried to disremember that one because it was just so stupidly ridiculous. And, you know, I didn't want to get, you know, get do like 24 Legacy. I'd be in this dark room and handcuffs and stuff and have to remember it. So.
I just don't want no more blowouts, man. I am sick of these blowouts, man.
Well, again, at a certain point, I think I did a show about it. I don't know if I did. I should have. It's pride, too. At a certain point, somebody just got to get punched in the face.
Exactly.
You know, that's what Charles Barkley was saying the other night when, the Golden State Warriors was playing. I forget who they were playing, but they started shimmying and all this kind of stuff. And Charles was like, I just would have gotten the foul because I just would have punched somebody. I'm not going to let you do this to me, act like all out and everything. And, again, Dwight doing what he did Monday night showed a little bit of that. And if that could carry over, I mean, the team makes fun of THJ a little bit with his scowl and everything, but you need that. You need to act like you really want to be there, but you act like that you want to try to beat everybody down because otherwise everybody's going to push you back. I mean, I'm just looking at these standings again. We are only four games out of the loss column to Boston Celtics. We're only three to Washington, only two to Toronto. So it's not like it's over by any stretch of the imagination, okay? However, Indiana is only three games in back of us. Chicago Bulls, who played like crap all year, only four games in back of us in the loss column. Miami Heat are half – you see what I'm saying? And I'm going to scroll down just a little bit
more.
Well, no, Philadelphia does have 37 losses.
I want Miami to get that eighth spot because I think they'll be a pretty decent matchup against Cleveland. I think they'll push them. I don't think they'll beat them, but I think they'll push them. So I just want somebody to give them something, you know, take a little bit of gas out of the tank, you know, make them work for it.
I could almost see that, especially this little streak they've been going on. I could almost see that. They've been 7-3 because definitely won't be Detroit, definitely wouldn't be Chicago. So I could definitely see that. Right. And Milwaukee, if they could ever get themselves together, I mean, they got all the talent in the world. I don't know what's going on with Jason Kidd this year, but they've really fallen off this year. Well, they do have Jabari Parker, the ultimate hurt person in the world. That has a little bit to do with it,
right?
I guess. Yeah, he's gone for the year again. So, yeah, so that's pretty much stuff. Any other thing you want?
No, George? I don't know. That's pretty much it, man. You going to be at the game tomorrow night?
Not Wednesday, but Friday. I'm contemplating it. That's why I had asked earlier, you know, are they playing again? I'm trying to – I have something I'm supposed to do, but I'm kind of 50-50 if I'm going to, you know, go through there because I'm hesitant about the game itself. But
yeah, I'll be
I kind of do want to go,
so
we'll see.
I'm thinking about going Sunday, you know, see the game with T, but – yeah, man. Maybe like I said, last time we missed each other at the game. But hey, maybe we'll hook up one day and I'll catch you up there at Red one day, man. Get a drink or something.
Definitely. I'll let you know. Definitely. Like I said, I'll try to let everybody know when I'm going to be in town or anything like that. So definitely, if I'm going to be through there Friday, I'll definitely let you know. I'm trying to make sure. Right, because Braves season will be starting soon, too. That's why I'm trying to kind of go over basketball I can get under my belt as soon as possible because once the season starts, it's going to be stupid busy for those first couple of weeks because there's a new stadium and everything. So we'll see how that works out.
I wish, man. You know, I sent you that email about, the jobs. I know it's probably something you're going to talk offline. But, yeah, you know, I was talking about my daughter. Maybe want to, you know, talk to you about that.
Keep me in the loop because we still got a couple of more. We've had to expand some stuff because, we might still be able to do a couple more interviews. So just let me know.
Yeah, just post it whenever you do, man. That way I can give her a heads up. Unfortunately, she was already busy that day. She asked me about it the other day. She definitely was interested. So. Next time you do an interview or whatever, just let me know. I'll let her know, man.
Okay. Well, make sure you hit me up because I don't. Because for me, I know I've kind of hired out most, but I know there are going to be a couple more job fairs. So just make sure you remind me because otherwise I forget.
Roger that, man. All right, man. Good talking to you, man.
All right, man. You take care now. Call again soon.
Yes, sir. All right. No problem. I will. Later.
Wait. That was Mr. George Clark, definitely an Atlanta Hawk fan out of Hampton, Georgia. So, again, you got to look at it. And he mentioned one of the biggest aspects of this topic tonight is that when you have fans that are season ticket holders, it hurts them the most. Everyone else, we're watching on TV. We're listening to Steve Holman on the radio, watching satellite TV. We're stealing stuff from the internet to watch the game, whatever. But when you're actually in the stands and you're paying good money for your ticket, for your seat, and you're paying for a paraphernalia like a shirt or a hat, and you're paying for however much hot dogs and pretzels and pizza is, and of course your alcoholic beverages of choice, and you're getting blown out by 75 points, that's not cool. There's no way to legitimize that being cool either. Sitting in your seat, and on top of that, having to fight with fans from the opposing team that just come out of the woodwork when they show up, okay? So that is, again, it's the atmosphere, it's the essence of what it is to be an Atlanta Hawks fan as opposed to everywhere else, because everywhere else, you don't have a domination of opposing fans. Everywhere else, you have a little bit more of a competitive fire up to a point. Maybe not the Brooklyn Nets, but It's just a matter of we just go through this rotation. And the other day, I forget who I told, but at a certain point, maybe we do need to tank and start over from scratch, from the bottom, like other teams have been able to do. Because, again, being proverbially almost kind of good prevents you from ever getting a top draft pick. This is a whole – maybe I'll do this as another show. The last time – Hawks had a high draft pick. Oh, this is funny. I'm not even drinking or nothing. Marvin Williams was picked number 2 in the draft, coming off the bench from North Carolina. And we know how that turned out. My goodness. Although, the last 2 years, Marvin has actually had a really good 2 years there in Charlotte. He's a player. He's doing very well. He's helping that team win a lot of games. He just couldn't help us win any games, okay? As the number 2 pick in the draft, saying he was all athletic and everything. He had the picture-perfect jump shot, though. All $5 billion we spent on him, though. But anyway, that was the last time we had a high draft pick, okay? Highest of the high, okay? So at a certain point, that might have to be, you know, what we do. Now, again, we've had actually some successful drafts overall. Think about it. We've had a lot of homegrown talent still here, except for Mike Scott leaving. Moose is still here. Dennis is still, well, again, you know, Allen, Teague and everything. But again, it's at least we're trying, right? You know, so, you know, and now with Bembry and Prince, definitely, right? That's a successful draft right there. Those two players are going to play with us a long time if we get lucky. Then again, Josh Smith, right? So, he's still sitting on the sidelines waiting for a team to sign him. No, he's not coming back to Atlanta. I don't want him in Atlanta. I'm just saying he's out there. So that's what I'm saying. Josh Smith is out there, but we got Ryan Kelly. Now, if it got down to it, yeah, we should have got – oh, this is really messed up. We should have got Josh Smith instead of Ryan Kelly, because at least we know a little bit of what Josh will bring to the table. I think he'll get talked down from shooting any three. Okay, but he could block some shots. He could have got some rebounds. He got some assists, and he can score. He can still do his thing, right? So I don't know, y'all. It's that time where it is March now officially in 30 minutes or so. And we don't know where this team is right now. And that's frustrating when it's March, when you have other teams around us knowing exactly where they're going one way or the other. They're building up for the future or they're building up for the now. And right now we're not doing either. And we're not being told anything. We're not being shown anything, whether it be on paper, the internet, television, a movie, nothing as far as where this organization is headed. All we know is we're getting an NBDL team and we're getting renovations on Phillips Arena. That's what we got. That's not enough, folks. I'm sorry. It just isn't. So that being said, the trade deadline came and went. We didn't trade Paul. We got Ilyasova. Our rotations didn't really change that much. Steph is back. Hopefully that helps a lot. It looks like he's really healthy this time. Maybe he is. Maybe he ain't. But he did play well, so we'll see. But this stretch coming up, we have to win. Like, seriously, we have to win all these home games. If we lose one home game, again, stick a fork in us. Like, really, we are 5 games out of being not in the playoff picture. 5 games. Do the math. Don't take much. You see what I'm saying? We're 5 games. We go 2-3, 1-4, and one of the teams below us get a 5-game win streak, which we can't do. We might not make the playoffs this year as the Atlanta Hawks organization. And then what? Then what accountability will there come? These moves that were made or not made. No input from important people like a Grant Hill. None. Right? So it's scary, but again, Monday night showed, like George said, thanks, George, again, for calling in, showed us a glimpse of what it's supposed to be, what it was earlier in the year, very earlier in the year. So again, whether it be a closed-door meeting or open-door meeting, I don't care what kind of meeting these cats got to have, you play to win the game. If you ain't there to win the game, you shouldn't even be on the floor. Take some pride in yourself. If the Hawks get blown out again by 30, this team is done. If the Hawks can't win a 5-game win streak, this team is done. And then you blow it all up because they're going to have to do something anyway since they didn't trade Paul Millsap, which they had all the opportunity to do. They again, I hate feeling bamboozled, but again, after the trade deadline and then Paul went and scored 4 points and 4 rebounds, I was done then. So it is what it is. We're going to go down with the ship. If any of y'all saw me out in public the last couple of days, you see me in my Atlanta Hawk gear. I'm still a Hawks fan, going to be one. But I just want to see a change. So that being said, I'm going to get off the air for tonight. I'll be on the air again later on this week. I swear I will. And we'll talk more Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta FC United, and even maybe a little Atlanta Dream basketball coming up. Y'all take care, but make sure you follow me on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio, IMTM Worldwide, and even my personal Instagram if you want, IMTM1, the number one. Visit my website, www.imtmworldwide.com. Make sure you click on there, see all the cool stuff going on there. And hopefully I'll get to talk to y'all later. Make sure you let people know about the show. Till then, y'all take care. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Go Hawks, go Falcons, go Braves. Let's see what happens next year. Super Bowl, cheaters.